Well, welcome to Trinity this morning. We've been reading through the Bible, if you haven't joined us, and we started in Luke. We're going to read in a little bit better chronology, not necessarily better, but it's a chronology that kind of helps us to progress, and we're going to be reading the Word as it was written in the order, and we started in Luke. This past week, we read Luke 15 through 21. It's simple, just a chapter a day. That's the hope, is just to read a chapter a day to be united as the body of Christ together. And Luke, and we're going to go right from Luke into Acts because of the connection that Luke has. He wrote both Luke and Acts. He was a physician, very, very intelligent. And he also was good friends with Mark, as we know, and he traveled with Paul in part of his missionary journeys. So, but one of the things I thought was really important for us, just as we get started this morning, is to look why Luke wrote the book Luke. Why did he write this gospel? If you look in chapter 1 of Luke, we see these words right there in verse 1. Many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among you. They use the eyewitnesses' reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I, meaning Luke, also have decided to write a careful account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. Isn't that awesome? So Theophilus is a student, is somebody who Luke wanted to make sure that he knew that he did a careful investigation of the accounts of Jesus' life, and he got done, and when he was done, he said, this is gospel truth, that Jesus, what you've heard about him, what people have experienced is not fairy tale, it's reality. Today's title, the message, is Hang on Every Word. So before we get to the scripture this morning, I just want to set up a little bit of context for you to help you understand. So at this point, where we're going to be reading today, Jesus is in the third year of his ministry. The hope and the goal of his ministry was to help people, guide them, and understand that the covenant that God made that he was going to fulfill. God made a covenant in the Old Testament, and now Jesus was here to fulfill that covenant. And so we see Jesus, he preached to masses and masses of people. He constantly, everywhere he went, had a crowd around him, and he was constantly teaching them and helping them to see the way, that he was the way, the truth, and the life. We also see him teaching specifically to his disciples. He had an incredible relationship with his disciples. And you know, he had a great number of disciples that actually followed with him. Well, I'll start at the 72. We had 72 disciples that he also sent out. And then we know about the 12 that he sent. And so what's amazing for us is he had an intimate, even more intimate relationship with three, Peter, James, and John. So out of all these relationships, they really began to focus in on what Jesus was trying to teach them. We saw that he's healed people, many people, the blind, the lame. He touched people he had no business touching. He was walking in places and sitting down with people that he had no business sitting down with and walking with. Because Jesus didn't come to keep man's laws. Jesus came to keep his Father's laws. And so now this leads us up, oh, and I forgot one more thing. The religious leaders of the time, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they hated Jesus. They hated him because he was taking their understanding and he was flipping it on its head. He's flipping it upside down. So they hated him. So now we get to the place where we're going to be reading the scripture today, right before where we're about to read. Jesus comes into Jerusalem. It's his triumphal entry. He comes in and many people are waving palm branches and they're singing and they're saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Little kids are saying, blessed are you, son of David. The title, the official title of the Messiah. Remember what the Sadducees and the Pharisees said? They said, stop them. They don't have any business saying that. Why are you letting them say that? What does Jesus say? Well, I'll tell you, if they don't say it, the rocks where we're walking are going to cry out. Because even creation was in great anticipation for what Jesus was about to do. So he goes in, he makes his first stop along the way, and he stops in the temple. And remember what he does in the temple? He starts tidying it up a little bit. No, he goes in and he starts clearing things out. He starts overturning tables. He's looking at these religious leaders. He's looking at the people that are selling and buying and trading in there. And he said, my Father's house is to be called a house and is to be a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. He says, no more. So he goes in and he clears it out. So now we're going to pick up the story. Luke 19, verse 47 and 48. It's 802 in the Pew Bible in front of you if you want to use that. I encourage you to bring the word with you, and I encourage you to follow along with us, but I also am going to have it up on the screen here. So verse 47 reads, after that, he taught how often? Daily. And he taught where? In the temple. Okay, this is going to be really important, but everyone say but. There's a problem. The problem is the leading priests, the teachers of the religious law, and the other leaders of the people began planning on how to kill him. And you thought you had it bad. But, everyone say but. They could think of nothing because, now I want you to read this with me out loud, all the people hung on every word he said. Boom. So here's the coolest thing. That last phrase, hung on every word he said, can actually be broken down into one Greek word, akramamai. Everybody say akramamai. Oh no, you guys didn't get the in there. I definitely didn't hear the. You gotta get the in there, akramamai. Very good. Now clean off the back of the person in front of you. But Luke is showing a mastery of the Greek here, and he's using one word to describe what they were doing. They were hanging on every word that he said. Now, here's the amazing thing. That one word is actually only used once in the entire Bible, and here it is. Once in the entire Bible, akramamai. And the purpose of it is because Luke wanted to show special attention to the attitudes, to the hearts, to the desires of the people that were sitting there. They were literally hanging on every word that Jesus spoke. It's awesome. I love it. Can you tell? Now, I'm going to ask you three kind of specific questions throughout our teaching this morning. Here's question number one. I want you to consider this. Whose word are you hanging on? Whose word are you hanging on today? Because the reality is we hang on a lot of people's words. We do. The doctor, when we sit down with the doctor and the doctor starts to tell us things about our bodies, we tend to hang on every word, don't we? We hang on the word of a surgeon general. When the surgeon general comes out and says, well, people, we probably shouldn't do this. We're like, hey, he's the surgeon general. Maybe we should listen to what he says. You know, when times are tough and the economy is down or we're at war, when the president walks into the Congress or when he walks down that long hallway to address the nation, what do? We tune into that message and we hang on every word because what he's going to say is important to us. Think about athletes. Think about athletes. We hang on the word of athletes. I have to confess to you this morning, I hang on every word of Jim Harbaugh. I'm a huge Michigan fan, and when Jim Harbaugh comes out and he tweets something or he puts something out there, I'm hanging on every word because I appreciate and I want to know what's he saying. So we do it with athletes, we do it with coaches, we do it with pastors. Well, at least I hope we do. Wouldn't that be great? I would love for you to come in here and hang on every word of my preaching, you know? Evangelist, this past week with Hal, we hung on every word that Hal spoke. We do it with family. And even our spouse and our children. And depending on the situation of time or the time, good or bad, we hang on the words of people around us. But let me ask you this question. Does the word of anyone else other than Jesus, does that word have the ability to silence your adversaries? Does the word of the people around you, other than Jesus, have the ability to remove the power of your enemies and your adversaries? No. No. Look at verse 48. Jesus' adversaries could do nothing. Everybody say, could do nothing. They could do nothing because the people hung on every word that he said. So here's question number two. We're moving quickly. Do you daily hang on every word that comes from Jesus? The key to that question, and the reason why it's highlighted and underlined, is daily. Do you daily hang on every word that comes from Jesus? It's a challenging question, isn't it? It challenges us to consider even some of the things we learned this past week. Are we holding every thought captive? Are we taking every thought captive and taking it to Jesus? Asking the critical question, Jesus, is that you? Jesus, are you meeting with me? I know you're here. As I'm getting into your word, Lord Jesus, what do you want me to learn or to see? You see, the linchpin for applying this teaching that we're in today to our life, the linchpin for applying it to our life today is believing what Paul told the church in Corinth and what he told them about themselves, and coincidentally, what he also told them about us. So here's the question again. Where did Jesus teach daily? In the temple. That's important. And remember what Jesus said about the temple? What did he say? He said, I'm going to destroy this temple, and I'm going to rebuild it in 3 days. What? You guys don't know what that's from, right? Larry, where's my fence? What? But think about how ludicrous what Jesus just said. Think about how strange that is. He literally just says, I'm going to destroy the temple, and I'm going to rebuild it in 3 days. And people are standing around, and they're all going, what? How in the world is that going to be possible? You see, because Jesus wasn't talking about the physical temple. What was Jesus talking about? Himself. They all thought he was talking about a physical structure. I mean, even the disciples in Luke 21, they're walking around. They're like, wow, look how beautiful this building is. So Jesus, when is all this going to take place? And Jesus says to them, I tell you the truth, not even a stone will rest on top of the other when the temple is destroyed. There's a couple of different references in there to the temple. But for us this morning, we have to land on understanding that the big T temple is Jesus, but we, everybody say big T.
Big T.
The big T temple is Jesus, but we this morning are the little T. Everybody say little T. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Now I want you to read this out loud with me. I think this is an important principle for us to understand. Ready? Let's read this. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Now stop right there. We could stop right there and we're going to learn lots of truth, aren't we? Do you not realize that your body is the temple of what? The Holy Spirit. The little T temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now let's keep reading. Who lives in you. Stop. Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. I got to understand this. We got to break this down. If we can break it down, we can kind of get maybe a little bit about understanding. So the temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And where does the Holy Spirit live? Our bodies are the temple. Who lives where? In you. In you. Let's keep reading. And was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a price. So you must honor God with your body. Now, this isn't a don't drink, don't chew, and don't go with girls that do sermon this morning. That's not what this is. Because we're going to a deeper level of the context of what we're trying to read here. The main thing for us to realize is that the temple that Jesus referenced and talked about was himself. He's the big T. The little temple that Paul helps us to understand as he's talking to the church in Corinth is that they are the temple, the place where the Holy Spirit will reside. You can't contain God in a building. You can't contain God in a building. Christ is going to return. And when Christ returns, he said he's coming back for the spotless and pure bride of Christ, which is the church. Now, let me just put some things and put some minds at ease here. He's not talking about coming back and all of a sudden all the churches in the world are going to just kind of, you know, and be pulled up or anything, because that would be weird. But he says, I'm coming back for the church because, folks, we are the church. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He, the Holy Spirit, resides in us. Okay, so let's review what do we know up to this point. The first thing that Jesus does when he comes into Jerusalem is he goes and he clears out the temple. Agreed? Okay. Jesus physically taught daily in the temple. Agreed? Jesus had adversaries and they were plotting on how to kill him. Agreed? His adversaries had no power in that moment. They were silenced because the people hung on every word. Agreed? So here's the cool thing. Luke and Mark are the only two gospels that bring this little note after Jesus clears the temple. Luke and Mark. And I want us to go and shoot over to Mark and look at how Mark writes about this story about after Jesus clears the temple. Verse 18 in Mark 11. So Mark 11, 18 reads, when the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law heard what Jesus had done, meaning cleared out the temple, they began planning on how to kill him. But, everyone say but, they were afraid of him because the people were so amazed at his teachings. So his adversaries, his enemies, those who wanted to kill him had no power. Why? Because the people hung on every word that he said. Now, folks, I'm going somewhere. You're with me. You're on the journey. Don't dial out now because that'll be really bad. Okay, stay with me. Here's the third question, final question. You have to think about this. Who or what are your adversaries today? Who or what are your adversaries today? Again, you have to recognize that our adversaries, our enemies, those who try to persecute us or oppress us or push us down, those can be a who and those can be a what. So I'm just going to give you a few seconds, and I want you just to think about that. Who are or what are your adversaries today? Let's talk application, okay? Because the word is meant to be applied. It's not meant to just be read and make us all kind of feel warm and fuzzy inside, or it's meant to be applied to our lives. So since we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, what would happen if we allowed Jesus to teach in us daily? Oh, I'm going there. I'm going there. What would it look like to allow Jesus to daily, listen to my words, daily teach in us, little t, temple? What would life look like? What would our world look like if we allowed Jesus to teach in us daily? I mean, this is what God brought to mind when I was reading the word. I was reading and all of a sudden, you know, you realize that if you ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate scripture where he wants you to read or where he wants you to be mindful of, the Spirit will do that. The Spirit is faithful every time for you to just stop what you're doing before or in the middle of reading and say, Lord, illuminate for me where you want me to read or what you want me to see in today's reading. And God is faithful through the Holy Spirit to communicate that to us every single time. So here I am, I'm reading, I get to the part where Jesus clears the temple, and then all of a sudden, I'm reading this little note about what Jesus did after that. They're just, you know, kind of filling in where he was and what he was doing. And it was like this shuddering, because the Holy Spirit said, Steve, pay attention to this. I was blown away. And I started looking at it, and I started reading it. Now, many of you that are following on the daily reflections, you know I've already kind of done this. This message I've already used in the daily reflections. I couldn't help but get up and teach it, though. I couldn't help but get up and teach it because I think it's that important for you. And I think it's that important for me too. And so for us, I want you to think about the passage this way. After Jesus cleaned Steve's temple and made it a house of prayer, Jesus began to teach Steve daily. But, everyone say but, Steve's physical, spiritual, and emotional adversaries didn't like this and started planning on how to hurt him. But, everybody say but, Steve's adversaries couldn't do a thing. They were too afraid. You want to know why? Because you see, Steve hung on every word that came from Jesus. Now this is what I want you to do. I want you to take this. Mark, go back one if you don't mind. Go back one. There you go. So now, I want you to see this. I just did it for me. Now I want you to do it for you. Because I think this is important. There's incredible application when we allow Jesus to teach us every day, things happen. Okay, so now I want you to say this out loud, and when don't say insert your name here. That would be funny, but not right now. When we get to insert name here, I want you to say your name. So we're going to read this out loud and then insert your name in the blanks, okay? Can we do that? Let's do this together. After Jesus cleaned Steve's temple and made it a house of prayer, Jesus began to teach Steve daily. But Steve's physical, spiritual, and emotional adversaries didn't like this and started planning on how to hurt me. But Steve's adversaries couldn't do a thing. They were too afraid because, you see, Steve hung on every word that Jesus said. Folks, that's application. That's application. That's the opportunity for us to realize that, yes, Jesus taught in the temple daily after he cleansed the temple. Yes, he had adversaries that wanted to kill him. Yes, the adversaries couldn't do anything at that point because the people were so amazed they hung on every word. When we look at it and we understand it from our perspective, for what is God maybe trying to teach us today? We too need to allow Christ to come and clear our temple. There's so many things in our temple, in our little t temple, that are distracting us, that have gotten away from the purposes of what Jesus wants to do in our life. And we need to allow Jesus to first come in and clear it all out. We need him to turn over some of our tables, don't we? We need to, when he does that, then he's established to be the teacher, the one who will teach us daily if we allow him to. And when he teaches us daily, guess what? The effect is that our adversaries, our enemies, will have no power. They'll be silent. It doesn't mean they'll go away, right? It doesn't mean that they'll go away, but they won't have power and they'll be silent. Why? Why? And this is the key. This is the key. Because we, as followers of Christ, will hang on every word that comes from him. We will hang on every word. Folks, that means we need to get really close to him, and we need to get really close to his word. We need to allow him to be our teacher. And I know you might be thinking, well, Pastor, how does this look? What does this look like? Hang around here, okay? Because we're gonna figure it out together. We're gonna figure out what it looks like to listen to Jesus' teaching every day. Allow him to be the teacher. Because ultimately we can't teach this, we can only facilitate this. We have to allow Christ to be the one who teaches us. Here's the application, it's very simple. When you allow Jesus to teach you daily, your adversaries will have no power because you will be hanging on every word that comes from the Lord. Amen. As we close this morning, I want you to hold this up in the light of where you're at today. I want you to think about to yourself, number one, whose words am I hanging on? Whose words? I mean, there's a lot of great things and great people, and even I say, in being funny, that I want you to hang on every word that comes from me. I say that jokingly, because I don't want you necessarily to hang on every word that comes from me. I want you to test and approve and know that the words that come from me are from the Lord, that you're hearing from him, that you're hanging on his word. And the second thing that we have to just ask ourselves is, am I daily allowing Jesus to teach me? Am I open? Am I daily allowing that to happen? And then the third thing is to recognize, who are my adversaries? Who are my enemies? Because they're not just physical, they're spiritual. You know, they're not just spiritual, you know, they're emotional. We have lots of adversaries. And we need them to be quiet. We need them to stop talking. We need them to stop yelling in our ears, because we desperately need to seek Jesus. He wants to be the Lord and King of our lives. Amen. Stand with me. And I just invite you to just allow this song to be more than a song. Allow it to be a response, and allow it to be a prayer from your heart today.